the queen, the sorceress. Take a breath, you're sure to miss. Lord of the Rings and Cox-Hating Kiss. I'm the one who rules the space. Pray to God was given grace. Can't be replaced. Why? My coochie lace.
Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and I'm just going to get started. So something that I'm pretty excited about is that The Hills, New Beginnings, is out on MTV. And for those of you who don't know, The Hills was one of the first reality shows taking place in Beverly Hills. I loved it. I grew up on it. And I love that it's back. It doesn't have all the characters. Like Lauren Conrad is not there, and she was like the main one. And then you got Kristen Cavallari. She has her own show on a different network, so she couldn't come back. But I am very excited, especially because they got Heidi and Spencer, the married couple, and I love the two of them. I love their drama. So it's, I had no idea it was coming back, and then suddenly it's back, and I've been enjoying that. And I actually have a story. So there was a character, she's not on the new one. Her name is Lo. She was on the old Hills. And how long ago is this? About 5 years ago, I used to go to these dance classes in New York City. It was called like 309 Fitness, I think, or 305. And they are very rigorous aerobic workout classes where you almost dance to the point where you can't move anymore. It's a great workout, but for me, it pushed me too hard. And there was one day, I think I already had like a slight stomach virus I wasn't paying full attention to. So I go to the class and I walk in, and Lo Bosworth, I believe is her full name, from The Hills was there. And I immediately like smiled at her because it just felt like someone I already knew. And she kind of like snubbed me a little bit. I mean, she didn't know me, so she probably gets it all the time. But she definitely snubbed me. And I felt like I was in high school and that a popular girl had just like, you know what I mean? So then my reaction was the entire class, I was trying to outdance Lo. And I swear to God, she dances like a gazelle. And I might have already told this story years ago on this. And she was just an incredible dancer. And I tried to keep up. You know, I'm a good dancer too. And I was trying, but I already had that virus. And I just totally was not going easy. So I leave the workout class. Lo had no idea I was trying to outdance her, of course. And I start walking down into the subway to take the PATH train home to Jersey City, where I lived at that point. And as I'm walking down into the subway, my whole entire body and system starts to give up on me, which for me, it felt like I was about to pass out, piss myself, shit myself, and puke. Like it's like everything just shuts down. So I quickly walked back up, got out my phone. I had passed out before, so I knew what the sensation was and what was about to happen. So I quickly got out my phone. I called Tim, who was my boyfriend at the time, and was like, you need to call me an ambulance. I was at 6th and 14th in the city. I was like, call an ambulance to those streets. I'm going down. He was like, what? I was like, call an ambulance. And I literally put my bag, my pocketbook behind me and passed out on it. Like I passed out in the streets of Manhattan. Did not shit myself though. Proud of that one. And, and I remember I was just in and out, and as I was waiting for the ambulance to come, I started praying for angels as I was going in and out of consciousness. It was really scary to be passing out on the streets of Manhattan. And these two women stopped and they were like, oh my gosh, do you need help? And they got me water and they stayed with me till the ambulance came. But it was really, really scary. And then the ambulance came and I was sitting in the thing and they were like, they made me fill out a thing, or they were filling it out for me. And they were like, what's your occupation? And I was like, I'm a comedian. And the guy was like, oh my God, tell me a joke. I was like, I'm literally about to shit myself. Like I'm trying to hold in this, like, this is not, the day I wanted. I'm not trying to shit my spandex. Like, you don't need a joke. Like, this whole situation is enough. And he was like, oh. So they drove me to a hospital. It was rough. Tim came and got me. And I think I started a fight that day. A very memorable day. But it all ties back to enjoying that the Hills, New Beginnings, is back. However, Lowe's not on there. But I do plan on letting Lowe know that story one day. Because once again, she had no idea I was trying to outdance her. And I definitely did not. Very good dancer, that Lowe. Okay, so yeah, excited about the Hills. I have been getting pulled to the Galapagos Islands lately. I want to go there someday soon. It's where Charles Darwin went and figured out the whole natural selection stuff, which is huge. I think he has a quote. I'm going to mess it up a little bit. But basically he said, those who can adjust to change the fastest are the ones that evolve and stay around. It's about your adaptability to change and your ability to change. And I really took that in. I've been trying to, because those of us on the healing journey that are trying to allow for more spaciousness and for our deepest wounds to occur, you have to be willing to change and go with it. And it can be very shocking and surprising what happens as you figure out who you truly, truly are. I'm constantly surprised by it and always trying to allow for my inner bitch, or not even bitch. It's like the one who puts up the boundaries. It's also including my inner masculine. And I'm obviously a more, I think I'm a masculine woman in the sense of I really try to speak my mind and be a boss ass bitch, but it's still really hard, I think, for everyone, men and women, to claim that, especially when we're raised in a society of kindness meaning fakery, like that fake polite is like what most people love to do. It's like, and trust me, I get it. I was queen of the fake smiles since I was in middle and high school, I think. But there becomes a point where it's too much energy to wear that mask. And it can be, though, a little jarring as you become your more authentic self to adapt to those changes, even if they're within. And I'm trying my best to just get more and more real and be me and see where I vibrate at and with and whom and all of that. As I'm me, though, my truest self, which constantly is shifting and changing, and I'm trying my best to show myself compassion as I bring out and include more pieces of myself. And I would suggest everyone doing that. And I've been teaching you guys, my listeners who've been here for a while, a meditation from my school. I'm actually relearning it in a current course, but it's a meditation I learned from my school, and it's the meditation of including, where you're taught to include and bring in all these pieces and parts of yourself, because we spend so much energy and time, and it's a defense. There's no quote unquote issue with it, but we spend so much time on trying to isolate and push away certain parts of ourself that we judge as shameful or wrong or bad. And that's what I love about non-duality, is think of like the yin yang and holding both parts. So a third thing is created. That third thing is bigger, almost. Bigger is a funny word, than all that's included. And we're looking for this expansiveness. We're not, you know, I'm just so sick of everyone labeling things. And I used to fall into that so heavily, especially the way I approached veganism and vegetarianism. And there's not a specific rule book on how to live life. Life is complex. All you have to do is look out to nature to know that. But we try to place these judgments that I believe are related to historical wounds and poison ground, which is like hard to explain, I guess. But it's just when there's a collective disease, we'll put it that way, that we're born into, that's lineages. It's been a long time making, and a lot of us light workers, or whatever you want to call ourselves, we're waking up, and our biggest thing right now that we're waking up to is the fact that we need to save the planet from dying. Like, that's the realest, most important shit ever. And I believe it's happening. I posted on my Kate Wolf Facebook fan page a link to the Greenpeace, what is it, Greenpeace Rainbow Warriors? Rainbow Warrior. There's like this boat or boats that they have, and it goes and like protests big companies from drilling in certain places. I think that's awesome. If I'm ever going to escape and run away from life, it's going to go to work with them on that boat. I don't plan on doing that, by the way. That's just my, maybe one day I'll visit their boat. That would be lovely. But I do believe, even with my escapist tendencies and fantasies, that I will I believe that I'm supposed to be staying right here, obviously, raising my son, who I believe loves me very much, but he's entering teenagehood, man. And sometimes I get the tood, which I'm trying very hard to not take personally, because I get it, but I just love him and I want him to be one of my best friends. But I can't force that. He's got to like me on his own. So, and I know he does, and I don't think he listens, but right now he'd be like, Mom, calm down. I love you. And I get it. But like, raising a teenager is a whole other thing where you're like, you start to feel not cool or something. It's wild. But, you know, I think Shane's the coolest and he's so talented. So I hope one day, without it just being because I'm his mom, that he actually also wants to be my friend, because I'm a big fan of Shane's. Let's see, what else do I have written? Oh, I wrote down the wolf mother. It was supposed to be like kind of like a joke on it, but in my school, they kind of call Mother Earth the Great Bear Mother. And I think she could also be the Great Wolf Mother or the Great Turtle Mother. Or I think, first of all, I'm a huge fan of bears and I do love that analogy. But for me, we're just talking about Mother Earth and just what that energy system is. It's also the divine feminine. And these energy systems, the divine feminine and the divine masculine, are both systems within us. And I think it's hard to define exactly what a feminine system is and a masculine system. If we're going to try and break it down in terms of like physiology, I would say feminine, think of a womb. It's a container, right? And then masculine is this kind of like flow, this movement. Now that's just like the most basic of what those energy systems are, but they're all within us, these things. And we have been taught what it means to be a woman or what it means to be a man. And they're so ingrained in us, even if we didn't want them to be. Like, I know that farting, let's say. And now I think men would be just as embarrassed to fart in front of someone they like or whatever, but it's still in society, it's more acceptable for men to fart and do all that stuff. And girls are supposed to be. Now we are healing these things, because once again, I love claiming my inner penis. I love claiming the masculine within, you know, especially when it comes to masturbating and stuff like that. Like, and I'm talking for men and women, you know, it really, our sexuality is a spectrum in a sense. For me, I am very, very straight. That's me. But when I say spectrum, I'm talking my sexuality in the sense of how I relate. Like, do I relate more in a feminine way in that moment or a masculine way? Like, we can switch roles even in a partnership. Do you get what I'm saying? So like, as a woman, I can be with a man and there's fluidity there in how we play together. So that's what I think sexuality is really individualized and unique, and we just want the freedom to know who we are in all aspects, not just sexuality. But there's just so much more gray. And it also goes to things like when it comes to smoking weed or drinking alcohol, eating stuff, porn, which I was just kind of talking about. You know, it's about your relationship to these things. And this is also taught in my program. I didn't make this up, but it's something I really try to uniquely embody, because I find that a lot of people can say this, but then they still have all these judgments they live by, which is fine. But when you really understand it's, that it's your relationship to the thing and that nothing is bad, it's you and the thing. So we can take weed because that's something that people are still really debating about. I mean, we have some states where it's legalized and some where it's not. And there are some people that really still consider it like a hardcore drug, because they've thought that way for years and it's hard for them to change, which is how we even got here in terms of Charles Darwin and natural selection and the Galapagos Islands. But it's about saying, okay, when I go to smoke weed, and I'll speak personally, I still see the guilt and the shame that comes up over something that I consider a plant medicine that has allowed me to heal many deep things. And that's my unique relationship to it. Some people might smoke and feel zero guilt. Some people might not want to touch it at all. They don't feel the pull. But it's just about noticing the space between you and that person or thing or situation. Because whenever you get really triggered as well, it's about going in. There's something that's trying to tell you. If it's food, a lot of people battle food stuff. You know, food isn't bad. It's your relationship to the food that gets tricky. And it often stems from some deep childhood stuff or grown-up stuff. But a lot of people, I used to have a way more unhealthy relationship with food that I healed, thank God. When I was in college, I used to count every calorie. It was an obsessive way to get my energy somewhere, but it was hell to live like that. And I, at some point, just said, I'm done. Like, I just quit being obsessed, and somehow, I'm really lucky when it comes to that arena. I've really healed that. And I'm really lucky when it comes to my relationship to my menstrual cycle, because I have fully become in tune with my system and my love for myself as a woman and a moon goddess. I don't need tampons. Like, this is real. When I get my period, I'm able to really just menstruate into the toilet when I pee, for the most part. Like, sometimes I'll get like a little bit on my pants or something. Sorry I'm talking about this, guys, but not sorry at all, actually. But I'm just so not ashamed of that thing. My relationship to my period, I think, is so healthy that I'm really able to be in the flow with my flow. And I guess you could call it free bleeding. I've kind of talked about this before on here, but that's what I mean, though. It's your relationship to these things, and as they heal, the whole thing changes. Also, I want to get back to the Galapagos Islands. There are species found there that you can't find anywhere else on the planet, which I think is fascinating. There are these lizards that are there that are like huge, almost look like Komodo dragons, but they're peaceful, but they swim in the water and they're on land, and they look incredible. And they have these tortoises there. They have blue-footed boobies, which I think is the funniest. I love that, a blue-footed booby. So I'm trying to make my way to the Galapagos. That's what I'm trying to do. Okay, I wrote true freedom. That's what we're all looking for. You know, we're not looking for, yes, people want to find romance and a great career that makes money. And yes, we want things. But if those things aren't in true alignment with who we truly are, when we're free, then those other things become a trap, you know? So really just trying to do the work to find out who you really are. And it's not a simple task, because sometimes, you know, our defenses and our wounds allow us to think we're a certain way. And then as we heal, we're like, oh, I'm not who I always thought I was. Which for me includes a lot of complexities. Like, just look at Mother Earth, okay? Mother Earth is such a beautiful, fascinating being, but she erupts. Look at the volcanoes, look at tornadoes and all, you know, tsunamis. There are so many natural disasters that are actually a regulation system. Weather is directly linked to us. This is the holographic nature of reality. Everything is reflecting back. Thunderstorms aren't bad. Volcanoes aren't bad. And yet when we as humans, you know, express a volcanic eruption or tornado like path, you know, and this isn't an excuse to act out, including for Mother Earth, right? But her volcanoes just represent a balance. You know, we can all feel our inner lava, and yet so many of us are still just so ashamed for that very Kali fire that lives within. It's acknowledging it, making a place for it. And I think art and creativity plays a crucial, crucial role in all of this. For me, creativity is channeling your current truth, right? And that's why I love people like Frida Kahlo, Salvador Dali, because Hieronymus Bosch, because they put out truths that often made people uncomfortable because it wasn't in that fake polite thing. So a lot of people saw it and would go, oh my, you know, art is not about fitting in. It's supposed to represent, in a sense, the current state of the artist, of the environment, of society, of the culture. You know, I used to be an art teacher. I loved getting to teach my students about different art movements and why they came about. The Renaissance, that was a beautiful time period. Before that, you had the medieval times. You know, we go through different stages, and it's really interesting to see what was going on to create that movement. Like when the Industrial Revolution happened, where finally mass production came out and all those big machines and the stacks, you know, came out. There was an Art Nouveau. That's probably one of my favoriteest art movements, Art Nouveau, because a lot of very sensitive souls saw the changes that were coming, and they wanted to make sure, they wanted to hold on to the beauty and the importance of nature and the organic world. So if you look at Art Nouveau art and the furniture, that's to me what was the biggest part of the Art Nouveau movement is, oh my gosh, some of the desks and tables and the lamps, Tiffany lamps were basically created then. Beautiful. Oh, when I have money, I'm going to definitely have like an Art Nouveau room. That's for sure. Because it was just so in tune with nature. But yeah, Mother Earth, man, we suckle from her breast. We are all needy, beautifully fragile beings. And we like to forget that because it scares us, but it's okay to need. It's about voicing your needs from a different place. Because when you can really look at your shame for just being a needing human being and the shame that comes around that, so many people are not really speaking their utmost truth and vulnerabilities because it terrifies us to be seen as that quote unquote crazy or needy. Truth is truth. There's nothing wrong with truth because it's truth. What happens is starting very young, whether it's our parents, our teachers, our peers, the poison ground, whatever, we start to think that our truth is bad or wrong. So then we start wearing all these masks, and it's just getting to a point where the masks are, I believe, directly affecting the environment, because we pretend then to be good people, but then we're not really, our actions aren't matching up. And when your actions don't match up and they start to cause destruction, it's not just in your interpersonal or whatever, it affects the planet, because then we all become zombie-like beings doing zombie-like things, thinking that we're being good. It's not about thinking you're good. It's about being authentic and trusting that we all have still the heart of children. We're all born innocent. So I think healing work is about trying to get to that place, but we can't fake nice, and you can't beat away your truth, which is what most people do. They think that there's something wrong, or they call themselves an addict. And you can call yourself an addict to anything. Love addicts, drug addicts, porn addicts, food addicts, gambling addicts. You know, sometimes what you're really addicted to is doing the thing and then beating yourself up. I think a lot of us are addicted to this obsessive thing that runs and thinking that, you know, something's broken. I still a lot of the time, like, something's broken with me, something's wrong. No, this is just what life is right now, and we're figuring this out together. But until we start really on a deep level sharing what's really going on, there's only so much you can do. I'm looking forward to the day, and I'm getting there, and I'm trying to get there very quickly, where I'm just so authentic and so dead honest to who I am and not apologetic for being who I am. And that's why I love little kids. They're just who they are. But then they start getting told, oh, don't be rude. You can't do that. That's bad. And then we all get twisted into knots. Fucking sucks. I'm over it. Let's see. And I don't know how long this one's going to be, because I don't even know. Oh, I already did 27. It's a lot of energy sometimes. I can't wait till I'm getting paid to do this fucking podcast. You know what I mean? I love doing it, but it's definitely a lot of energy. Don't worry, I'll also have guests on again soon. I'm just getting pickier and pickier, to be honest. Let's see. Okay, so nudity. This relates. The shame we have over our naked bodies still. This is some Adam and Eve shit, but it's like, our naked bodies are naked bodies. Once again, look at animals. They ain't ashamed. I plan on going to a nude beach this summer, unless it's too hot. But there's something great about just embracing your naked body and not being ashamed anymore. It's so funny. There's just so much shame, we can all feel it. But I'm getting real close to being over that shit. I wanted to talk about the word disease. I even brought it up before with a diseased collective. It's interesting because disease is part of all of this. Disease is, I guess you could relate it to death. It's like, in order to have life, you need to have death. In order to have healing, there needs to be disease. But for me, it's about holding the life and the death within you and knowing that we can always regenerate. It's hard to regenerate and replenish your life force when you are stuck in old energy systems. It's a lot easier when you just have that adaptability to change and flow and heal and grow. You might think you know what's right, but then you allow yourself to go in a different direction. It's just really river swimming the fish and allowing yourself to be swum. So disease too, if we're going to talk about it, you know, I did come out with a positive Lyme a while ago, but I try not to think about it too much. I'm not saying I don't have it, but I think a lot of us, whether it's Lyme or other kinds of viruses or whatever, we're going to be susceptible to a lot of these things. I believe that they're almost like messengers trying to get you to shift and change your life and look at what you need to change, right? For me, my Lyme disease about a year and a half ago pushed me to make major, major life changes because I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. And that was one of the scariest moments of my life. So I had to really, really just look honestly and not push myself. Let's see. I'm definitely doing a short one today. In terms of Trump, President Trump, there's a reason he's president, and it's linked to this collective shit. When we are doing the fake masks thing and trying to become happy through external means and not really do the work within, through that, abuse becomes normalized. And what I mean by that is when we're doing the fake nice and not really saying what makes us uncomfortable, a predator can look or act really nice and fake. But we often know because our systems start to get really funky around that person. But we don't want to be rude or whatever. So then we override that stuff. So when we all start overriding our systems and pretending that's not happening, or when we're in pain and our bodies are in pain and we try to not acknowledge it or push it down, not only will it make you go fucking insane, but it allows for predators, because we're always doubting our intuition that's trying to send a message saying that something's off. Now, maybe it's not because a person's a predator, but it's still information telling you something about how you should navigate the situation. But because we're often pushing down those, that transference, or those, it's almost like a sensory overload, because we try to override that, we become so out of relationship and so out of touch that I believe certain predators are able to get away with what they do. And I'm still disgusted that we have the president we do. And he had another woman speak out about how he raped her in a dressing room. You know? So there's a reason. A lot of us are steeped in a rape-like energy. It's really about control and force. When we can't just surrender, we want to make things happen. We want to force things to happen. And sometimes you get the thing you forced, but it will never feel the way you want it to feel or give you the comfort you want. Because the comfort we're actually looking for is a stability within. So I do believe Trump will be out of office as we heal this urge to control and dominate everything, because that doesn't actually get you where you want to go. Oh, I also want to talk about ghosts. A lot of people are scared of ghosts. I am not. I am not scared of the other side. Ghosts, aliens, mermaids, fairies. First of all, I can see fairies very clearly. And I'll go back to the ghosts, or I'll call them the deceased. They're often just misunderstood. So a ghost, I believe, is an energetic thumbprint or fingerprint, like a frequency that's still left here because there's unworked out stuff or messages, or there's just some kind of communication or dynamic that's taking place when there's a deceased person making active movement to contact a living person. There's something going on there. I don't believe it's something to really be scared of, unless sometimes when you're ignoring the message from the other side, ghosts get crazier, louder to try to give you the message, especially if there are ghost presences in a house where abuse is taking place. They will definitely get rowdier as a way to try to send a message. A lot of deceased ghosts and stuff look out for the living. So a lot of people have misconceptions around, there's just so much fear around the unknown in general. And I do not believe that most ghosts are here to negatively affect. The deceased is the same as the living, in a sense. It's like we get so scared once they're deceased, but it's us. It's a human being still with a message that wants to be heard or seen, or, you know, they're just as complex as humans. So I think a lot of this is just about being tender-hearted and open-minded as things shift radically, and as we realize that this life is filled with so much more magic and complexity and potential than we could have imagined. It's going to be a beautiful thing. And just really knowing that you don't have to put up with fake bullshit anymore. Like, that's so not cool anymore. Like, I think we're all realizing it's cool to be authentic and real. And that doesn't mean meanness. It's just about being real. Even if it doesn't seem polite or popular or whatever, it's just no more wasting energy, I think, in the mask. It's like, just say it like it is, as best you can. And if all you can say is, I'm scared to say it like it is, then you can say that. But communication and real communication is so vital. Hiddenness has its benefits to a sense. If you look at it as space for self and a secret garden within, that is a beautiful, not even hiddenness, but just a space that's safe. But I do think that a lot of us need to start really getting to the heart of what's going on within and expressing it, at least to one person. Because when you hold all that in, oh my gosh, it's like you're preparing for a volcano to blow, really. The last thing I'll say in terms of the whole fakery stuff is, I think in our childhood environments growing up, we witnessed at least one parent that just always wanted to keep the peace. But that issue of keeping the peace in that way, I love keeping the peace when it's real peace, when you're expressing your truth and your anger. And when keeping the peace means, swiping or wiping things, you know what I'm saying, under the carpet, or ignoring the elephant in the room, that's not real peace. That's a glass menagerie waiting to shatter. So I think a lot of us are healing, though, what it means to keep the peace. And I personally just don't have energy at all to bullshit or to pretend a situation's not what it is. I prefer space over that. But and that's another thing. Everyone has the right to take space. Everyone has the right to set a boundary. Everyone has a right to say no to their quote-unquote obligations. So many of us were operating on obligations. Oh, I have to help my, you know, parents or siblings or cousins or uncles or aunts or yada, yada, yada. This friend, that friend. Oh, I owe this to them. I can't say no. That's a belief system. I can't say no, or I should. Those are belief systems. You know, eventually we all want to get to a place where you're not pouring from an empty cup. If you don't have it in you to give, you shouldn't. You have every right to set boundaries and give yourself first and foremost what you need. So keep that in mind. It's one of the hardest things to do. But I believe that when we start putting ourselves first, that's when we're going to really heal Mother Earth. Because when you start to really listen to your system and what you need, you start to melt those defenses that kept you numbed from what your needs really are. And you can't really be in tune with yourself or the planet or other people in your life until you're first really listening and honoring your truest vibration in your system. So, you know, sending love to all of you in this time. And I hope we all start figuring out how to put ourselves first. Even if you're a parent, you know, it can be very exhausting. And I talked about this last week. It's okay to put your needs first. It's okay to get a babysitter or whatever it is you need. But, you know, what I'm saying shouldn't be radical, but it is. Because most people might look at me and be like, you know, I remember when I quit teaching to pursue comedy. The Huffington Post did an article on me, and the comments below were, a lot of them called me selfish and all sorts of things for following my dream. Because the belief is, oh, she has a kid. She shouldn't be following her dreams. She should be staying in that teaching job she hates. So at least, you know, she'll have the money. I would have died away. He wouldn't have a present mother. That wasn't the job for me. If that's the job for you, great. But I'm going to tell every person of every gender, of every color, of every age, that you have the right to follow your dream at any point in your life. And I say this every time. If you need backup, I offer healings. kwolf2f27@gmail.com. And for anyone who thinks healing work is supposed to be like super cheap or free, because I've been hearing that lately. If someone wants to offer that, that's great. But it is okay, not just for healings, but for anyone listening in your job, it is okay to know your value and your worth and to ask for that. That's another thing. It's really feeling your worth and feeling like you can set a standard for yourself. So you'll always have me rooting any of you on when it comes to being authentic, setting your standards high, setting proper boundaries you need to, getting space you need. It's not easy in this current environment because people have taught themselves that being nice is being a fake martyr or being fake nice or, you know, smiling even when they're not happy. You know, that's not true, even though a lot of people are operating in that place. Being nice, in my eyes, is being kind to yourself first and really honoring your system and what your needs are. So I am sending you guys all good energy in terms of getting to do that. And I'm going to end this. Let's see. I already told you guys, if you want a healing, to contact me, kwolf2f27@gmail.com. I have comedy seance coming up with Jess Grippo, July 28th at 6 p.m. promo seance. Allison has to be out of town, we just found out. So nothing bad is going on there. It's just that this time Jess and I will be holding it down with some others. I will be announcing the full lineup shortly. I believe we're making some adjustments. So, but come to that. I am not driving into New York City that much anymore. I am going to be starting some shows in Jersey, I believe. But that's part of what I'm saying is, for me, you know, it's a long ass drive and the tolls and gas does not at this point equal the amount of energy. It's just not, I had to set a boundary there. It's just to give an example of what I'm talking about. But that is the next time I believe I'll be performing in Manhattan, July 28th, 6 p.m., New York Comedy Club's 4th Street location in the East Village, with the incredible Jess Grippo and some others that I'll be announcing soon. Promo seance for $10 tickets. And thank you all so much for listening. Bye.
Who is it? It's Sauron. The war in me has just begun. My truth will always be sung. Over and over we will be one. My enemies, they lie with it. Self-destruct my biggest sin. I won't stop, so it begins, and we march on like minions.
Lordess of the rings. Lordess of the rings. Lordess of the rings. Lordess of the rings.
I'm the hero. 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 The hero.